Scott Zolak.
I think it's a disaster.
Mark Bertrand.
I know. I want to get it out.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Josie's on a vacation far away.
Yes.
Come around and talk it over. So many things that I want to say. You know I like my girls a little bit older. I just want to use your love tonight.
So this list that we pulled, list of songs that we played from to get the thumbs up, thumbs down, and you had an overwhelming thumbs up on most of them.
I think it was even till the end, 2-2, and then
it was 5-3. Was the we had 8 songs total.
You were pretty even on like the new songs.
Yeah,
once you got to the older ones, you were like 90%.
Oh yeah,
Jim,
Shut Up and Dance is on that list, so you
I
would
love
go.
That song.
Yeah,
how did you compile that list of songs?
So I emailed a bunch of people, the parents of kids on my 8 and 9-year-old girl softball team, to see what songs they wanted for to play at practice. They're going to bring a little speaker.
Yeah.
Play at practice. What are your daughter's favorite songs?
8 and 9-year-old little girls.
Yes. A couple sevens in there, a couple sixes, yeah. All right. So 6 to 9, I guess, is the range.
All right, you guys got kids.
Okay.
Right?
Okay, here's the best part.
You guys got kids. You got little kids? What makes you're impressionable? You're the people that make your kids listen to what you listen to.
No.
So this isn't far-fetched. It's not like they're 18 going out of their own way now to get their own music. Bull crap.
No.
Your kids listen to whatever you play in the car.
Hardy, you know what this is? This is payback for Zoe ripping Jim all of last week for coaching the softball
team. Well, okay. So
that's what this is.
Your kids listen to what you listen to in the car. So this is what you listen to. Those songs.
Yeah. But my point is, it's not little.
That's our point.
But no,
thank you.
No, dummy. The point is, I have the same music taste as most parents do. The kids are going to listen to what the parents play. Do you understand that?
Somewhat.
Okay, good.
So instead of the same music taste as 8-year-old girls, you have the same music taste as like 30-year-old. That's kind of what you're saying.
Yeah.
Okay. What was the number one requested song? Out of all the suggestions you received back, what was the number one? You told me what it was yesterday.
Oh, the Carrie Underwood, the champion.
Which it's a good one, huh?
Which I love.
It's a good sports
because
one.
That was the one that excited Zoe the most and went so far as to say, you want to play this before you play a game?
Yep.
The same way 6, 7, 8, and 9-year-old girls want to play that song before they play one of these softball
I'll tell you games. Something, too. I used to, you get the movie soundtracks, you like a movie. And I used to do this way back in the day when the movie came out.
Yeah,
got the Dirty Dancing soundtrack, and I used to work out to it. Now it's weird. I wouldn't do it now.
Wait a minute. No.
I work out to this.
Pause. Did you just catch this?
Yeah.
That is the equivalent.
That person said that, but I mean,
loading up the Elton John greatest hits.
Yeah, but I mean, see,
I'm gonna throw on
not that crazy
the Dirty Dancing soundtrack.
Yeah. The song was big then. Not now.
But that got you jacked up to go work out?
I still work out to that. That's weird.
Hey, Romeo.
You start
playing. And if you don't answer? And if you still don't answer?
Be my little baby.
Baby.
So just like Zoe, 8-year-old girls see the Trolls movie and they want this song on the
right,
playlist.
Which is how this got on it. And Earth, Wind & Fire landed on it with September.
How's Celebration that? By Kool & the Gang from Wreck-It Ralph, I believe.
There you go.
Is it?
Yeah.
I mean, who doesn't like Celebration? That was a good test.
It was fun.
Yeah, it's different.
You get jacked up for that Carrie Underwood song. Just like the girls on the song.
Well, it's not just Carrie.
It makes you want to play ball.
And Ludacris.
You hear that? You want to play ball. Let's go.
So do they.
Throw it deep. Throw it deep.
617-779-0985. Justin's in New Hampshire. Hi, Justin.
Scotty.
Hey.
Hey, so.
Who's Sonny?
Did you ever use that or did you actually throw it away?
Who the hell are you talking to?
I'm talking to Scotty, Zolak.
Hey.
I gave you the keg smoker and I tell people all the time and then I got the keg.
I told these guys I did the ribs and the keg smoker. This guy got me the keg smoker.
Yeah?
That makes me feel very good. Okay.
Fantastic.
Thank you. So, Imagine Dragons, one of the guys in the band is married to a woman in a band called Nico Vega that you might dig.
Nico Vega. All right.
Who's Nico Vega? I'm so confused.
What are we supposed to do with
what
that?
What are we supposed to do
know.
With that?
I don't know.
Justin, what are we supposed to do with that?
He hung up.
He got your keg smoker?
Yeah, he did. Is cut good? The keg on half? Yeah.
I'm looking at a picture of Nico Vega right now. It looks like a Dresden Dolls photo shoot reject. I'm out.
How do you like the keg smoker?
Love it.
Put charcoal on the bottom. Is that how it
you
works?
You put charcoal on the bottom with the wet chips. You know, your wet wood chips. I get mesquite. Hickory.
It's nice.
Put it in there. He's got a nice little temperature gauge on the top.
No kidding.
You know where you put the keg in?
He just gave this to you?
That. He custom made it. Cut it in half. You got a stand you put
friggin
in there.
Freaking so. I know. Guy gets all the free crap.
He brought it here.
He
right
gets
here
everything.
The more you're worth,
dude,
the more,
gets
money. The more money you got, the more free stuff you get.
Celebrity net worth has him at like $10 million, and there are guys coming and just giving
him. Well, he's $9 million.
Giving him a smoker.
You include all the free stuff he gets, it's closer to 10.
Yeah, it's got to be by now.
Yeah.
Just showed up and gave you a smoker just for the hell of it.
Eight digits. Eight digits.
Unbelievable.
I got invited to play in a golf tournament. I said, you're playing it. $150 a person. I said, I don't walk, I don't pay. Two rules in golf. What is that crap?
Nico Vega.
Nico Vega.
Oh, yeah. This is right up Zoe's alley.
No.
It's got Tori Amos feel to it.
No, it's got that... Kobe, it's like a Kobe Calais one.
No, this is opening credits to an indie film.
Bingo. Nailed it.
Right. It's like driving out to the desert. There's Vegas. All right. Five guys in a car. It's like The Hangover.
Ron's at the mobile. Ron.
Hey, Zoe. What's up? I want to call and thank you for something you did years ago.
Yes.
I took a little girl to a Patriots practice, and we tried desperately to get autographs and had no luck. And we were ready to leave and discuss, and you came over, gave the little girl some nice attention. And I never got to thank you because we turned to thank you and have you sign the autograph, and you were gone. But the girl never forgot it, and I was just sitting here listening today that you were discussing music and musicians,
yeah.
And you kind of hit a...
And little girls,
with yep. I just wanted to thank you. And by the way, check your email. I sent you a real song.
I will. Hey, Ron, thanks so much, man.
Is this Zoe's last day?
Man of a people?
This feels like a
am I leaving
show.
For the summer? Is there something I don't know
or longer?
That's happening?
Whatever works.
Say your goodbyes. 617-779.
I put it for some vacation yesterday.
Dude, I got $10 million in the bank.
Like, what's
I ain't showing
going
up
on
here
today?
On Monday. I don't blame you, Zoe.
Hey, 12 o'clock Zoe Story Hour. It's good. After this, we'll talk to Sean Jefferson on the other side. Talk about him changing the plane huddle. So here you go.
Throw that one to break.
Making your job suck just a little bit less.
You think they have a big hole?
I think they have a big hole.
Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Here on this Friday, Zolak and Bertrand. NBA Finals Game 1 last night. What a joke. Oh, that was a terrible ending to an otherwise great game. I mean, rating. Biggest rating in the history of ABC. What was the number, Jim? 12-something.
12-3 for the game. It peaked at 14-9.
That's a big number. Highest rated game on ABC. For obvious reasons. Great game, back and forth, tight for most of the night, great play by pretty much everybody involved. LeBron, Steph, Durant. The stars came out, they were playing well. LeBron was by far the best player on the court.
It's everything the NBA wanted. That's your matchup. Two heavyweights.
The only issue was the ending was a disaster. In a lot of different ways.
Doesn't it juice the series, though?
The reversal really, though. Of the call was bad. They got it right in real time. They got it wrong on review. The fact that it's a reviewable play to begin with is a joke. That part of it was terrible. That clearly impacted the game. Despite that happening, the Cavs still had a shot to win. But J.R. Smith is an idiot. and didn't know the score, and he screwed it up. And then in overtime, you just knew. I mean, you knew the way it was going to go if they got to overtime. Cavs were not going to be able to outlast them. But then the sloppy nonsense at the end, 2.5 seconds left, and the refs are ejecting Tristan Thompson. It starts the fight with Draymond Green. All hell breaks loose. Kevin Love comes out. It was a mess. That game was a great game until it all got screwed up at the end. The first thing that screwed that up, though, is the officials. Ken Maurer, Ed Malloy, Tony Brothers. Well, here's what I say about NBA refs. When you know their names, that means you know them for a bad reason.
Right.
You know their names because they've hosed somebody or hosed your team in a way before, and that's why you know them.
Can't you say about everybody, like, you know, baseball umpires, whether it's Joe West or, I don't know, I'm trying to think of bad referees.
Not necessarily,
like,
because in the NFL,
Jerome
you know
Boger.
Hockey Lee.
You just know, like, the
you
guys
know Hockey Lee, you know Boger, you know
Sterator.
Gene Sterator. Yeah. And those aren't for bad reasons.
Cleet Blakeman.
Cleet.
Cleet.
You know Walt.
Walt Coleman.
For the good reasons.
Jerry, I remember Jerry Austin.
Oh, maybe Oakland knows him for
I remember when I was playing, Jerry Austin was like the Crypt Keeper. I'm like, Jesus, you're still old.
reading from this story last night, Jason Lloyd, The Athletic, he covers the Cavs. He said, it should come as no surprise that a game with questionable officiating again involved the Golden State Warriors. Mm-hmm. After all, it was Sean Livingston who headbutted an official earlier this season, while high-profile ejections of Kevin Durant and LeBron James this season raised awareness to the deteriorating relationship between players and refs. He said, what transpired here inside Oracle Arena late in the fourth quarter isn't going to help. As one Cavs player reviewed the referee sheet in advance of tip-off, he recalled after the game how he shook his head in disgust. Quote, Ken Maurer, Ed Malloy, and Tony Brothers, are you bleeping kidding me? You could pull any three names out of a hat and do better. For game one of the finals?
Yeah.
Embarrassing. Wow.
And they blew the call. They overturned the call.
He says, J.R. Smith might not have known the score of the game. Might not have? No, he didn't know the score. When he dribbled out the clock, when the Cavs had the chance to win it at the buzzer, but Cavs players and team officials were too busy seething over a flurry of calls that went against them in the final minutes of regulation in what became a crushing overtime loss. He says the most egregious was the charge call on Durant that was turned into a block with 36.4 seconds left. Cavs were up two at the time and about to receive possession with a chance to steal game one on the road. Such a huge, monumental swing at that point. Monumental swing. And the refs were sort of the start of the chain of events of bullcrap at the end of that game, which should make you angry. That game shouldn't be remembered for that. That was a great game. It's why it did so well.
I think that game adds so much more juice to it.
I'll tell you, that game didn't in terms of overtime, that didn't add to the rating. Because at that point, it was so clear who had won. I mean, I bet there are a ton of people that turned it off before the final whistle had happened, before the buzzer.
Did you have a feeling, though, Cleveland was going to get blown out in that game? Game one, prior to the game, I'm talking. Like, we just always thought that this was maybe not that good of a Cavalier team.
I think they're overmatched in this series, yes.
Yeah, but I mean, are the Cavaliers better than we give them credit for, though?
No.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, they got some one-man show.
LeBron is as good
51 points is what made you compete.
LeBron is proving
night.
That he's as good and worthy of the credit as anybody.
If he has an average night, say, average for him, 30 points, you're getting blown out.
That's what makes me angry about this game. All the nonsense at the end. And the fact that the Cavs lost. Because I am rooting for the Cavaliers in this series.
I don't like Golden State. Like, I don't like anything about them.
The cockiness of the Warriors. Oh, man, to watch them.
Yeah.
At the end of the game, they act like they blew out the Cavs. Did you see them?
Yeah.
It was like they
just laughing at them.
Like they're about to win the series. It's game one. I mean, listen, I think they're going to take control of it. I think they're going to cruise. But act like you've been there before. You have. You have been there before. Act like it a little bit.
See, this is the one where you can't get down 2-0. And I know they would go back to Cleveland, but you know, playing the Celtics, you get down 2-0, I think it's a different story. LeBron willed that team to. I don't think he can carry this team the way he did last night. Do that for another four games. Can't.
Bill is in Nashville. Hey, Bill.
Bill,
go ahead.
Guys, how are we doing today?
What's up?
How you doing, Bill?
Good, thank you. I
having a little bit of enough of the JR getting bashed on Twitter, taking all the blame situation here. Feels to me like a lot falls on George Hill for missing the free throw.
Sure.
A lot falls on Ty Lue for not getting the timeout the second JR is going the wrong way. And thirdly, LeBron's right there trying to get the timeout. Why isn't the ref giving him the timeout?
Because I don't think he had anybody close enough to him to notice that he was doing it.
I think they all froze in his stupidity. They're all in shock. No, but you're right, though. He'll miss the shot. That's on him, too. They blew the call. You would have had the ball to 2-point lead on Durant's charge. Was that, 36 seconds? You had the game in your hand. You could almost say three different things blew that. The bad overturn call, the missed foul shot. What is he, 82% free throw shooter? And come on. I know you say guys miss shots, but man, chance to win it. I just don't know how that would have played out, too, because they have a good deep shooting team. They get the rebound or they call timeout, get the ball to half court. They would have still had a shot at it. He got the freaking rebound and thought he was running the clock out. What's screwy, though, is they weren't all on the same page postgame.
You know, there was another game in 2014 when J.R. Smith was with the Knicks in which he took a terrible shot at the end of a game when he should have been dribbling it out and said after the game, quote, honestly, I thought we were down 2 when I shot the ball. Yeah. Didn't know the score.
Does this guy make a year?
He has a problem knowing the score. That was brought up last night. How much does he know the score?
It's the first guy taking his shirt off when he's with LeBron out in the bar, too. Remember after they won it, and I'll just run around shirtless and parade. I'll take my shirt off.
Derek in New Hampshire. Hi, Derek.
Hey, what's going on, Beal?
Hey.
I kind of think that you're reaching here, man. I'm usually with you on the refs. I'm not sure you even watched the game if you think that was a legitimate charge. He's moving
the right leg. Derek, call us back. Your phone is brutal right now. Call us back. If it's about the leg moving, I heard you say moving. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter.
I thought he stabbed himself.
Leg moving doesn't matter. You can be moving your leg under the NBA rules. Doesn't matter. He beat him to the spot. He had position.
But if
it was called correctly, it was a charge.
Now, the guy under the bucket called charge. Did a guy out front, at midcourt there, call block? See, I saw the hands go down.
Last night in
game. I thought they got confused where they twisted it up.
No, he hesitated, Zoe. He hesitated. He didn't make the full call. It looked like he was going to that motion.
So then if you're going to review because to see if he's in that no non-restricted area, the second you see that he wasn't, why are you even going to look at the call?
Because they can. Because they used the restricted area as an excuse to review the play.
Right. So you already saw that he established himself. His feet were there. He didn't step under him.
It's like a referee in the NFL purposely calling it on the field as a turnover so they can go look at the play because they don't know what happened.
Right.
Because the turnover is automatically reviewable and they don't have to waste a challenge or anything. It's stupid.
Steve Javy said this. You want to play it? Here it is. Steve Javy last night in game as this was developing.
In that particular play, Steve, do you think he made it in legal guarding position?
As I look, I believe he is, because as I look, he's starting his upward motion. It looks like James is there. Like as I said, very, very close play, especially in real time. But I do believe that James was there prior to the upward motion of the shot.
Is there anybody that said, boy, this is a block? Nobody in the broadcast?
I don't think it's a when the referee on the floor called it a charge. He called it that.
And he was on
they
it too,
look
boy.
At it on review, and if the reasoning for a review in that situation, if the reason for the review is that you need to see if he was in the restricted area, then what the hell were they looking at? Because it wasn't even close. It wasn't close. It's nowhere near.
He's good 2 feet outside it. It wasn't like he was in the restricted area, stepped out
which
to
tells
go
me
under Durant.
They made the call, weren't sure of themselves, and used that as an excuse to go back and look at it. And that's not the way it's supposed to go. In that situation, that call on the floor should stand. It should stand. I mean, last night, they didn't even know. Anybody postgame had no idea if this had actually even happened before. They knew it was allowed under the rules, but no one could confirm it other than Kevin Durant. He knew it happened. He claims it happened to him. Actually, you can hear that. You can hear Kevin Durant tell you how he knew right away that was going to get reversed. We'll get to that. More of your calls. Derek, call us back if you'd like. Your call's coming up next.
Sports Hub Headlines.
Red Sox and Astros play the second of four tonight after the Red Sox lost 4-2 last night. Drew Pomeranz was on the mound. He gave up four runs on six hits in five innings. Chris Sale will get his start tonight. Game one in the books of the NBA Finals. Golden State, the winners, 124-114 in overtime, despite LeBron James and his 51 points. They'll get 2 days off, so game two, once again in Oakland, will happen on Sunday. Stanley Cup Final Game 3 happens tomorrow in D.C. Series tied at one between the Capitals and the Vegas Golden Knights. Headlines are brought to you by Ace Ticket. They have the best deals on seats with the outstanding customer service you deserve. Visit aceticket.com. I'm Hardy on Boston's home for sports. 98.5 The Sports Hub. More headlines in 30 minutes.
Zulak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Zoe and Bertrand.
They called a charge, right? And LeBron was clearly 4 feet outside the restricted area. So it doesn't make sense to go review something that the review is if he's on the line or if he's close to the charge circle. That's the review. He wasn't close. So what are we reviewing? Either call a blocking foul or call the offensive foul. And, you know, for our team to come out and, you know, play their hearts out and compete the way we did, man, it's bad. And it's never been done before where you know he's outside of restricted and then you go there and overturn the call and say it's a block. It's never been done, ever, in the history of the game. And then tonight in the finals, on the biggest stage, when our team play well, play their ass off, man, it ain't right. It ain't right.
Ty Lue on the call. Brutal call. And you can say it was a terrible call. And that it didn't necessarily cost them the game because they had opportunities after that.
But it sent it in a tizzy.
It contributed to it. Don't tell me it didn't contribute to the loss because it did. It was a huge swing on a bad call.
I mean, that's an easy one after that, right? Get the ball in LeBron's hands, let him foul him. 30-some seconds left, you had a 2-point lead. After taking a charge, get the ball in LeBron's hands and you got the ball game. No coaching even needed. Get it into the guy's hands that's just scored 49 points.
Yeah, I disagree, Beetle. That did decide the game.
That was a game.
That was the game.
Because George Hill wouldn't have been in the spot
yes,
he was in.
How
absolutely.
Do you know? J.R. Smith tips the ball back up and tips it in. They're going to win. They could have won.
That could have iced the game for them.
Yes, it could have.
They go up four after he gets fouled. They go four.
Or at least three.
Hey, I don't disagree with you. I'm just saying that for those who are saying that it was not a part of the loss, or they got the call right. No, they blew the call. Call got screwed up on a bogus review. I can't believe I've started to become that grumpy guy like Felger who wants no reviews anymore. Like, why are we reviewing this? Stop looking at it. We don't need robots. Don't need this. 617-779-0985. Again, the way they're able to look at it is they wanted to see if LeBron was in the restricted area. He clearly wasn't. After the game, Kevin Durant, he knew all about it, of course. Mr. Durant just seems to know everything about everything these days.
Last year in the regular season, same play happened to me. It was a block. They called a block, and they went and reviewed it and changed it to a charge. So I knew once it was 30 seconds ago that they can review that situation. There's a couple, like, goaltending and block charge a couple years ago. They put those rules in that you can review them, just like you can review out-of-bounds calls. Yeah. So I knew that. I knew he was late on the drive, and I knew I had my man beat, and he came over a little late. So when they called the charge, I was surprised, but I'm glad they reviewed it.
Of course he likes the call. He's happy with the overturn call.
Sure.
Hey, you're near the other end of it. He didn't come in late. He anticipated perfectly. Stepped right under you.
If that's called a charge and the Cavs win, Kevin Durant's looked at as a dog today. That was a terrible finals game by him.
That's a good point. So what's he do? He hits two shots.
Hits the two shots, and then he allows J.R. Smith to get the rebound over him on the other end.
Yeah. Dummy.
What was he, 1-for-7 from three or 1-for-8 from
one
three
for
or something?
Eight.
Yep.
Brutal. Sucked. bad. Ugh. I said it earlier.
He won the MVP last year, right? In the finals. Didn't they give it to him? I thought Durant won the MVP.
I think he did, yeah. I think he did.
Mm-hmm. He was averaging. It didn't feel like he was even scoring 35. I thought he averaged like 33, 35 a game. It didn't even feel like it last year.
So that's the NBA Finals. You get thoughts on it? We welcome them. 617-779-0985. Wanted to touch on another story, if you don't mind, Zoe, in the NBA.
Oh.
Brian Colangelo. What did I play it again?
Colangelo.
We got to look it up.
Colangelo.
I know it's Colangelo, but Hardy had a misspeak the other day that was brilliant.
Colangelo.
Into president of basketball operations, Brian Colangelo.
Colangelo. Brian Colangelo is going to get fired, right? We said this the other day.
Yep.
How about this? So the probe, the investigation internally is happening in Philadelphia. And the investigation has started to focus in on the fact that his wife may have been the person who signed up for the three other accounts. In doing a password reset, someone revealed that they figured out what Brian Colangelo's wife's Gmail was. Okay?
Uh-huh.
Went to reset the password, because when you do that, it will say, okay, we'll text you at your phone number ending in, I think the number was 91, right?
Yeah.
91 was the number. They figured out what her personal Gmail was. They tried to do a reset, and it showed the last two digits of her cell phone, her mobile number. They then tried to do a reset on the Twitter accounts, claiming they were the Twitter user who had forgotten their password, texted to me, and Twitter showed, okay, we'll text you at your phone number, last two digits, 91. Now, granted, there are eight other digits in a phone number, but wouldn't that be some sort of coincidence?
did you hear Danny Ainge on with Tucker and Rich? He talked about having him, and he said, I just hope this story's not true. You know, he had him, I think, out in Phoenix. So he's actually worked with him, and I like him. I love him as a guy. I hope this is not true, because I think he knew where this thing's going. Like, could you ever imagine doing it? No.
Does it matter if there's any difference if it were Colangelo or his wife?
No.
None. Zero. Zero difference.
It'd be like our boss having to burn her account trashing us publicly. You know what I mean? Or putting out information.
Well, no. Imagine like your boss's wife having a Twitter account doing it.
Right. But you know where you're getting the information from.
Exactly.
Did you know how they found her phone number?
No. How was that?
So the Upper Canada College website, she was the head of the parents organization and it listed her cell phone number there.
So they confirmed that the last two digits for her are 91.
Yeah.
So I didn't realize that was part of it. I knew that they linked the two accounts to ending in 91. And they found out
the 9-1 came from because they found her cell phone on this Canada College website.
Well, they also knew her personal Gmail account, which they found somewhere.
Maybe that's in the same website. Yeah.
Maybe.
Why would you use your personal stuff on this? If you're going to create burner accounts, create burner Gmails. Think it through a little
bit.
Stupid. How about
it's like, why do you send
Phil,
a, what do you, what
123456 at gmail.com?
Right. Yeah.
Just match it up.
Create a fake email address. That you can retrieve,
I guess.
It's like buying steroids and having them sent to your house with your credit card.
Jim, why create burner accounts, period? You're like, if you're going to do this, do it right.
Yeah, if you're going to do it
why
right.
Why are you
yeah.
doing this, period?
It's like the person said, I wouldn't murder him that way. If I ever committed murder, I would drive into the woods in New Hampshire and I would walk backwards through the thing and cover the brush.
He's got to go. I'd fire.
Oh God,
what are they waiting on?
How do you?
I'd fire this guy.
You got to do it for the team.
Maybe they've got to do a thorough investigation for when they fire him with cause. Right? They want to have all their ducks in a row.
Imagine being Embiid and these guys. Like, how do you even go and even look at the guy?
You can't have him there. You're going to go. You know, after, as I said, LeBron or any other free agent. You want to go to a team where the GM airs out how he's feeling about you or your injury information on Twitter and burner accounts? I'm not playing for that team. What a clown show that is.
My options are the coach who doesn't remember and the guys who don't remember what the score is, or the team that's sending out burner account Twitter stuff about all their players.
Right. And revealing inside information about the team. Gee, who do I want to play for? Wow, my options are great here in the Eastern Conference. Hey, maybe I'll go to Boston. Hey, now we're talking. Uh-oh.
Tweets from... multiple burner accounts.
I thought we had OTA tweets.
Good one, Jim. Good one.
No, only one day. Yesterday was the only media day.
I know.
We'll get back to your calls coming up next. Also, Dustin Pedroia out of the lineup again today for the Red Sox. Your reaction to that news, because that's clearly not good for a guy with a chronic knee problem. All of this on the way.
I'm going to King Arthur, the Knights of the Round Table.
Could this head injury have been caused by a fall?
Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Just a bad day with his knee. Actually, he went out and ran. He was trying. You guys know how he is. But just talking to Brad right now, and that's something that we knew going into this, that it was going to happen. He's going to have good days, bad days. We were wishing the bad days were like in 3 months, but today was a bad day. Hopefully, you know, he got treatment today. He'll come here tomorrow, see where we at. Most likely, I'll stay away from him tomorrow and then see how he goes over the weekend.
So, Alex Cora on this suggests that it might be months from now that they were expecting this to happen? Is he serious?
This, that it was going to happen. He's going to have good days, bad days. We were wishing the bad days were like in 3 months, but today was a bad day.
Okay, go, fast forward 3 months, please, for me.
Oh, my God.
June, July, August.
Oh, we were hoping he would break down at the end of the at the end of our pennant run.
We were really hoping that this sidelined him for the month of September when we were pushing for the division.
Yeah, we're hoping he would miss those last two Yankee series.
God, that's bad. So, and you know what? That just might be dealing in realities, which I think is a scary reality for maybe, Dustin Pedroia and for the Red Sox.
Well, maybe he got crossed up in months, too, where he's like, well, maybe we're hoping this is done at the end of this happened at the end of the year. Like
you
when his season's over. I don't know.
No, I don't think
no,
he
No, it
did.
Sounds like they knew something bad was going to come down the pike with this thing. Just happened a lot earlier than I thought.
They knew that he was going to get sore and was going to be unavailable and was going to need to manage it as the season went on.
After he actually played games for a couple months. Not after he played three games.
Thank you. After he came back and played for three solid months, he started to get a little worn down and started to feel it. Not after being active for eight games and playing in only three of them. And I'm counting tonight.
Yeah, three games, not 3 months.
Right.
I mean, nobody should be shocked by this based on what the GM said in the offseason about the player's knee.
Yes, wait a minute. Yeah, yes, you should. Yes, you should have some shock level. He's played in three games. He was on the DL for 2 months. Yeah, I understand what Cora is saying. Yeah, after he played for a while, we thought he'd have to manage it.
Yeah.
I didn't think he'd have to manage it coming back. I thought he was coming back because he was healthy and ready to go. That has already been proven 1 week in to not be the case. Not true. You expected this last week when they activated
him? No, I didn't expect
it. He's going to play three games out of the first eight?
You should expect that his knee's going to have issues.
That's one thing. But this sounds worse than
it does.
Maybe they've told us it is.
With Dustin coming back, we have the spot on the roster, so that's why we're DFAing Hanley. That's what with him coming back, right? That's part of the whole thing.
Okay,
they had a key guy coming back in the lineup. They weren't expecting him to play three out of eight games. You can't say that.
Don't you think that this sort of works in reverse now, too? They were looking to dump Hanley, and so they decided the date that they were going to dump Hanley. They wanted to do it quickly and get Pedroia active. Did they rush this?
That's what I'm saying. Did they not do enough baseball activities to where now all of a sudden the knee starts bugging him as opposed to regular old rehab? You know, whether he's like running in a pool, running on a treadmill, riding a bike, stair climber.
Troy in Dorchester with the Red Sox thought. Troy, everyday Troy.
How you guys doing today? Everyday Troy, that's right.
What's up, Troy?
So what's up? Yeah, listen, it's Friday, man. Let's celebrate a little bit here. Listen, I just want to ask, right? Let's say Dustin Pedroia's knee doesn't get back to any good shape. Nobody's hitting. Is this Manny Ramirez thing? Is this Ramirez thing something that could potentially cost somebody their job?
No.
At the end of the season.
No.
No, that decision was made by the organization here. I mean? Now,
They're blaming it on Cora for a reason. So if it doesn't work out, they have somebody to let the sword fall on, right?
No, I don't think so.
No, because he even said, you know, hey, we've discussed some other options and we knew we were going to make some moves. But, okay, so you take Hanley's bat out of the lineup, which wasn't great this month. You replace it and you actually add Pedroia. So now you don't have Hanley. Now you're not going to have Pedroia. So now you're going to be left with these other guys as far as their bats, whether it's, you know, Brock Holt or Nunez, you name it. Like, you've downgraded yourself two good players. Say what you want about Hanley. You had a chance to hit. The guy's got a stick.
Another injury question, if you don't mind.
Sure.
What's with Mookie Betts not going on the DL? Why didn't they put him on the DL? Why are they not considering it? He hasn't played.
Just being careful.
What? Why? I mean, put him on the DL.
Right.
He clearly needed it.
Big series.
Assuming he plays, assuming he's ready to go.
Right. Like it's day to day. Like you want, I think they want him day to day. That's a guy you don't want to go away from. I mean, you got Houston, right? You got two great matchups tonight, tomorrow. Say they don't fare well in the series. I mean, do we even lead more credence to the Shaughnessy tweet? Are we beating bad teams? I don't know. I just think it's a big series and they want him to play.
The part about Mookie's injury that's kind of weird to me is they keep calling it a side.
Yeah,
They're not saying oblique. They're saying side.
Tightness in his
side. But I think they're saying side because if they say oblique, people are going to get nervous. But that makes me assume it's the oblique. It works reverse.
Right.
It's the side, the area right above the hip. Well, what is that?
That's that hip pointer.
That's the oblique.
Why wouldn't they want to just say that?
Because those injuries last a long
time.
Those
are bad.
Well, that could be what he's dealing with. And then you get a question. Well, is he coming back? Are they going to rush him back? Put him back in the lineup?
Yeah, probably.
And you know what the other thing is? Core keeps saying, well, if this were September, he'd be playing. What does that mean? They all count the same. The games in September count just as much as they do now.
Especially in a dead heat.
I don't understand that. I don't totally get that part. Well, these ones count. I mean, tonight's games against the Astros will be important. Ken and Lowell. Hey, Ken.
Oh, Friday.
Hey, Zoe. Hey, Beetle. Hey, Addy.
Hey.
Hi, Ken.
How's it going, guys?
It's going.
It's going good.
Right. Well, first, I meant to call up to talk about the Belmont Stakes next week.
Week, Ken. It's not tomorrow.
No, I know. It's a week from tomorrow.
You see Gronkowski's horses racing?
That horse is not in this country as far as I know of.
International horse. Where did he go?
Yeah, he's bred and born in, Lexington, and then he's over there in England, and he hasn't done doodly squat in this country.
It's not much. Doodly squat's not much.
How do they get the horses from the States to the other side of the pond? They put them on a plane?
Well, they can do that way, or they can do it, they can just ship it traditional on the boat. But
put it in a package?
Huh?
What, do you put it in a package, wrap it up?
Well, it's either way. I mean, it's either or. It depends on the importance of the race. You know, is
right.
It a million-dollar race? Or
it's a big one.
You know what I mean?
Third leg of the Triple Crown. I mean, it's a big one.
Yeah, it is. And that's what I was calling to tell you about.
Okay.
I don't think this Justifier is going to win this race. I've been wrong before. I've been wrong before. I want to call up and take my medicine like a man. The game six, I said the Celtics were going to close it out.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah, I did. And I did not see them Celtics leaving 20 points on the board. I don't know how many free throws they missed in that game, but Hardy would know better than me.
Oh, sure.
You know, But I didn't see that, and all the turnovers and stuff. But and game seven, that was another abysmal thing. I put that on Brad Stevens.
All right. So who's your winner in the Belmont Stakes?
Yeah. Get back to the horse.
Well, I got to wait till the post positions are coming out.
All right. So call next week.
But I like the fact that he calls 8 days ahead to say that he put it out there.
I waited 2 minutes
and that takes
balls. And you got to wait.
Justify's not going to win. Justify won't win, Ken said.
Mouth breather. With a call for Zoe.
Hello?
Zoe, what's going on, man?
What's up?
It's former intern Mouth Breather.
Yeah, you heard Mouth Breather, what's going on?
Nothing much,
man. It's story time with Zoe again today. Here we go.
It's his last day. Wish Zoe the best.
You should get in here and see these piece of work interns we have now.
I set a high bar, man.
No, millennials. You're not a millennial.
Pretty sure he is.
What are you doing now?
I'm working at MLB and NHL Network in New Jersey.
How about that?
Yeah, you guys.
Did you talk to Jim Lothan there at all?
What's that?
You miss working here?
I of course. It was a great place.
Atta boy. Well, good luck to you.
I still see John Heyman around. It's good stuff.
Well, that's got to be a load of fun.
Yeah, well, I just wanted to send my best. I hope all is well, and be in touch.
All right, man. Take care. Hardy, say hi to my mouth breather.
I hung up on him.
Andrew. Yeah. What's his name, Jim? Andrew?
It's like one of those pictures you see of the mirror, of the mirror. The intern letting the intern on for a bad call. The intern knowing it's a bad call. The former intern calling knowing it's a bad call. And the new intern called letting them on the air.
Right. He did it anyway.
What is he laughing at?
He interned when Tom interned. That's how long ago he was here.
Oh, wow. Well, he's doing big things. MLB, NHL Network. Tom's just still here with us.
I walk in today, he goes, hey, nice flip-flops. Where do you get your nails done at? My feet.
And they're disgusting.
Yeah. He's like, oh, where'd you get your nails done? Oh, out in the yard. Yeah, I get them painted.
Headlines here with Hardy. No commercials. Thank God. Right back with the fourth and final hour of this show.